So we'll get right to it. We're going to cover four topics today, a very brief review of TheraSense, talk about some post-TheraSense decisions, and then Daquan is going to talk about some statistics that come out of the inequitable some changes that we've seen, and potential liability for plaintiffs' attorneys, which is something we should be paying attention to. So starting with a very brief review of TheraSense, let me take you back to a pre-TheraSense world real quick in case you don't remember. We had a very sharply divided federal circuit on what was and wasn't inequitable conduct. It was very uncertain as to how cases would come out. In many cases, the panel of the Federal Circuit was as important as the factual situations presented in determining the outcome of those cases. That divide festered for years until the court decided to take the issue en banc in the TheraSense case. And what came out of that was very high standards for both proving intent and materiality in inequitable conduct. On the intent side, you have to prove intent to deceive by clear and convincing evidence. It must be the single most reasonable inference. So if there's multiple reasonable inferences for why that information was not disclosed, that's not enough. Equally as important, you'll see this is a theme that comes up again and again in the case law, negligence is not sufficient. Just because you screwed up doesn't mean you committed inequitable conduct. It raises what I like to refer to as the oh darn, or oh insert strong word of your choice defense.